On this episode of What the Puck, Comcast doesn't take away the internet. The Caps return from Canada no better from when they left. Orlov and Lotta come down 83 to DC. And Holpe is kind of like that dad in Footloose and says no to dancing. All this and more on this episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to What the Puck. This is a Washington Capitals podcast. We're talking about anything and everything Washington Capitals hockey. Hey, it's been a little while. 2 weeks. Thanks, Comcast, for ruining the internet last week so Coach Dan and I couldn't talk. But hey, we're doing a show this week. We're very happy to be back. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, via Skype, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm good. It's good that we're talking and we can actually record and you're not just going to leave out of nowhere because Comcast shuts down the internet.
Hey, you left, dude. Your Comcast is the one that crapped out. I was here and ready to go.
Yeah. How long did it take for you to figure out that I wasn't there, or did it just kind of like you knew instantly?
I want to say it was a couple seconds. You dropped out and I was like, I thought it was my fault. And then I got a text message from you saying you couldn't get on the internet. I was like, oh, hmm. So I was thought about doing a solo show, and then I realized that's just going to go over terribly because I am not a good host. That's your job. That's what you're very good at. So I was like, you know what? We'll just wait a week.
Well, you know what? It's been a long 2 weeks. I definitely wanted to talk about some Capitals hockey last week, and we couldn't. So jam-packed show tonight. Let's jump right into it. Let's talk about how the Caps have been doing on this Western Canadian road trip. Not really going the way the Capitals would have wanted. The Capitals have looked kind of sloppy. The defense has just not been there. But in your opinion, what are the Capitals doing right now? They don't look like a team that is very rushed and wants to play.
Well, I think there's still some things, some problems defensively that they have. The game against Vancouver was far too late. I got to get up at 6:30 in the morning, so I was not going to stay up until what time that game end? Like 12:45. That's just not going to happen. So, but I heard defensively they had a lot of miscues. I heard Alexi had a tough time, and then the Calgary game was just an embarrassment all around. I think that was just a pathetic performance. But I mean, the thing was the Canadian and the road trip in general started out so well. I mean, they had that embarrassing loss to the Rangers. Then they won. They beat Columbus. They didn't really deserve a win against Winnipeg, but they still got the 2 points somehow. And then they dominated Edmonton, so you had to feel good going into Calgary, and then they just crapped the bed. So it's a tough thing. Some ups and downs of the early season, but thankfully everybody else in the Metropolitan Division seems to be struggling a little bit. So they're still very much in it on this still very early season. But we've got, what, a month almost over in the season, and the Caps they're struggling a little bit. So I'm still looking. I think they're still looking to have some settled lines. They're still looking for the defensive pairings to do a lot better. I mean, believe at the beginning of the season we had Mike Green with Carl Alsner, and now Alsner and Carlson are back together. So it seems like Oates is not quite settled on what he wants defensively. And the forwards just weren't working before, and so he switched them up, and he had to move Erat up onto the second line, which I've been asking for, with Lycan Brouwer, Grabowski back to the third line, and Fair to center to the fourth. Now, he made a good point about Grabowski going back and that he's not quite familiar yet with the system. He came in late to camp, so that's a good point to move Grabowski back just for a little while. And Erat responded really well after he got put in the first round. He had, what, 3 assists and then that shootout winner. So, you know, there's still some things that need to happen and things that need to be changed, and there's some chemistry that still needs to be developed. So the Caps are still struggling a little bit.
Yeah, there's not a lot of chemistry really going on with this team. I liked you may have seen the highlights from the Vancouver game. I stayed up as long as I could, but you know, once it hit midnight, I was like, you know what? I fell asleep during the game, woke up, game was over. I looked on my phone. I'm like, oh, the Caps are winning. But then I realized that I was missing one of those updates, and I saw the final score and saw that I couldn't get away with it. But I was really mad at Ovechkin because it looked like he took the night off in Vancouver, but now we find out that he has a upper body injury, so maybe that's why he was off his game in Vancouver. But Grabowski had one hell of a goal in Vancouver. I mean, just an absolute beautiful goal, and this is the kind of stuff that I'm really happy that Grabowski's in DC for, because this goal was what a pass to Grabowski, and then just a laser beam into the back of the net. Really great goal by this guy. I think he's going to do well on the third line, even if it's just learning how this system works. Sharks and he stays there for a little bit, already it looks like it's kind of paying off because he's doing he did very well in Vancouver. But the rest of the team, though, it really didn't look like they knew what was really going on. This is a weird thing to say with the Capitals here, but Aaron Volpatti actually got a goal, and I don't think anyone saw that coming, especially from a guy who doesn't play very often. But this might be his first goal as a Capital, but that looked very good in Calgary for that game. So still a very strange team right now. We have the guys that we know, but we don't know where they're really going to where they're going to lay out. They don't know where they're going to be on what line. I like the fact that Erat has been brought up. In practice today, he was playing on the first line, but of course, this is, 48 hours until the game in Philadelphia, so he may slide back to the second or third line eventually. But I like the fact that right now, with the way this team looks, and there's a lot of people like Grabowski on the third line, even though he's looking good, doing his thing, and we have Volpatti scoring goals and everything, this team is very unsettled, like you even said, and it's going to be very interesting to see where this team ends up, even from 48 hours from now, because we did have two call-ups from Hershey. Michael Lotta, of course, is back, and we have Dmitry Orlov making his first appearance for the Capitals in the regular season for this year. So very interesting stuff going on in the next couple days. But after that Western Canadian trip, they're like, oh, these guys are going to bond. It's good to get this out of the way at the beginning. They looked jet lagged. They looked tired. They didn't look like they really knew how to play a lot of hard nosed hockey. But I think this team, again, very unsettled, and it's good to get this stuff out in the beginning of the season. But they still have a lot of work to do, and they really need to find that chemistry. They got to do it quick because this season only lasts so long. But still, these guys got to get it going. And Adam Oates, it's really on him right now to figure out what the best combination is.
Well, based on today's lines, it certainly seems like Oates is just sort of putting things together depending on what happens with Ovechkin. He missed practice today with an injury. The team isn't saying what it is or how long he will be out. Now, there's a rumor that he's going to miss the game Friday in Philly. So we'll wait, and hopefully he can play. But if not, it looks like it's going to be Erat, Backstrom, and Fair on the first line. But that can get switched around. A lot of centering the fourth line between Wilson and Volpatti. It's, when you have injuries, these things are going to happen. I like that they recalled Orlov. I believe Orlov and Lotta were the two leading scorers for the Hershey Bears, so they certainly earned the call-ups. I like Orlov in general on this team. I think that he could really do well. It'd be interesting to see who he's paired with on Friday. These guys were brought up because Erskine was placed on long-term injury reserve. We're not saying – they never tell what the injuries are. We always kind of have to guess. But he did have some knee trouble. I believe he had knee surgery in the offseason, so we'll have to wait and see just what happened to John Erskine. I know you're very upset that he's out. You're mourning right now due to the loss of John Erskine on long-term injury reserve.
Yeah, he's on long-term injury reserve. I don't know how long-term injury reserve you have to be on that for.
It's at least 10 games or 24 days of action before you can be taken off. So he's out for a while.
It's interesting that they're doing that because he did skate today. I mean, it's not like he's off getting surgery somewhere. It's not like he's not expecting to play because he practiced before the team was out there. He didn't do anything like full contact or speed drills or anything like that, but he was still on his feet and he was still skating. So it's interesting that they're placing him on long-term injury reserve when he can still skate. And like you've said many times before, he's not the fastest guy anyway. So the fact that he's already skating, it's interesting that they're putting him on long-term when he's still on the ice. And I mean, even though he is one of my favorites, he isn't the quickest guy. So I don't know what kind of speed they're trying to get him up to.
Well, if you remember last year, Lykke had skated a bunch while he was still on long-term injury reserve, but didn't end up playing for a long time. He may not be ready for contact. If just skating by himself tells us that he's mobile, but we don't know how much, he's going to be up to game speed. Can he take a hit? Can he give a hit? Can he fight? We don't really know what the injury is, so it's sort of hard to tell. So with Erskine, it looks like he's going to be out for a long time. But I really like having Orlov up. I don't know who he's going to be paired with or who's going to sit. I mean, do you sit Alexi? Do you sit Schilling? Do you sit Urbom? People were kind of expecting one of those guys to get set down, but that didn't happen. So somebody's going to be sitting up in the press box. But hopefully we see Orlov on Friday and then Saturday night's game as well. So that should be a lot of fun to see. I'm a little concerned with what's going on with Jay Beagle. I know you are too. I think Beagle's a good player, but it seems like they expect more, or they're hoping for more from Michael Lotta.
Yeah, I'm a huge Jay Beagle supporter. I'm just a huge Jay Beagle fan. I really wanted to see him on the ice more. He's been getting the press treatment a lot. I was talking to one of the guys from Baltimore Sports Report earlier today who kind of says that Michael Lotta is Jay Beagle and more. But I kind of told him, you know, I like Michael Lotta a lot. And it's very obvious that GMG and Adam Oates do as well. They wouldn't be recalling this guy as much if they weren't a big fan of his. But if you remember when E-Rat came in, GMGM was happy about E-Rat and wanted him on this team, but he was more excited about the fact that they got Lotta, and he was like, this guy's really good. He's going to do a really good job for us, and you know, everybody keeps kind of brushing him off, but no, I think he's going to be good. So it's obvious that they have a place for him here, and they want him here. 2 years ago, under Dale Hunter, Jay Beagle really thrived. He was a player with a lot of grit, and you know that that Hunter liked that. I mean, he was a guy who broke his foot and still put the skates on and still try to go out and play even with a broken foot in the playoffs. So the guy has a lot of heart, and I think that this team really lacks heart right now because it always seems like these guys are kind of coasting around, not really wanting to play. Jay Beagle, of course, though, he's got to fit into Oates' system. I understand that. Even though I think that he's a great player and everything, if he doesn't fit into Oates' system, that's one thing, because Adam Oates is definitely looking for a certain kind of center. You can always count on Jay Beagle to win those face-offs. I mean, you remember 2 years ago, Madison Square Garden, when Jay Beagle got into the circle, they booed him because he won so many face-offs. He was such a good face-off guy. But they need a lot of offense. And Michael Lotta definitely has that. I don't know if you saw the video from Hershey, but I mean, he broke glass and like shattered it into the crowd at a Hershey Bears game last week because he hit this guy so hard. And I don't see Jay Beagle doing a lot of that kind of stuff. He's more of a defensive guy. And Adam Oates has said that as well about Jay Beagle, that he likes his talent, but he's more of a defensive offenseman. And he wants him to be a little bit more offensive and be able to score more goals. I want to see more from Lotta. I don't know a lot about him. I don't know a lot about him from his Nashville days. Maybe he is a great player and will fit into the system more, into the Oates system more than Jay Beagle will. But I hope that Jay Beagle does have a place on this team. I hope Jay Beagle gets more ice time. I understand he wasn't at practice today because he's feeling under the weather. But I'm a big fan of Beagles. I'm a big Beagle supporter, so I hope that he can learn this system well, and I hope that he's a part of this team and not just a guy who sits in the press box, because he's got some talent. This team needs somebody with a lot of grit and a lot of heart, because again, I don't see a lot of those guys with a lot of grit and heart playing on this team right now.
Well, you definitely need a guy that's going to go out and win you a defensive zone faceoff, you know, late in a game, especially towards the end of the season if you're fighting for a playoff spot or in the playoffs, God willing. So I'd like to see Lotta and Beagle out there together. Maybe put Lotta out on the wing, put Beagle in the center, and then put them with either Volpatti or Wilson. I mean, personally, I'd like to see Wilson bumped up a line. I'd like to see him get a little bit better offensively if they're going to be keeping him around, Tom Wilson, that is. But yeah, I'd like to see Lotta and Beagle on the same line. I don't know why you can't have both of them playing on the same night.
Yeah, the guy from the Baltimore Sports Report, Dave, in our back and forth on Twitter, he actually brought up the fourth line being Beagle Lotta Fair. Which, after he said that, I was like, ooh, that's a good line. I'm very
intrigued.
Why would
you have Fair on the fourth line, though? I mean, if you're going to bump Wilson, the question then becomes who loses their roster spot if you're going to have everybody there?
Yeah.
I mean, does Volpatti sit? Does Joel Ward sit or get traded? Nothing against Joel Ward. His contract's too high. His cap, it's ridiculous. So they need to move on.
Right. I agree with you with that. But Beagle, Lotta, and I agree with you, Tom Wilson would be a good fit on that line. I think those three guys would do really well together. You got Beagle, who can play a lot of defense, which a lot of the defensive players aren't even playing a very good defense right now. You got Lotta, who can hit really well. And you got Wilson, who's a big guy, who's got a lot of speed, and he'll win a lot of pucks in the corner for you. So I would see that as more of like a, you know, on the defense. If the Capitals do have a league, you play this line a lot to make sure that the other team just doesn't score late in the game. So I would love to see Lotta Beagle work together on the same line. Whether one of them is comfortable enough to you know, play on the wing would be one thing. But yeah, I want to see them. I want to see them together. I want to see more from Lotta. It's obvious that Oates and GM see something in this guy. I want to see more from them. But I want to see more Beagle too. I want Beagle on the ice. I think this team is a better team with Beagle on the ice. And the first couple games that were out there when Oleksii and Beagle were sitting, I was not happy. I want these guys on the ice.
You know, I think it'll be very telling if Ovechkin plays. If Ovechkin does not play Friday against Philly, to see who is in. I find it interesting that Johansson got bumped back to the second line with Erat on the first. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'd like to see Beagle and Lotta both out there, but in the end, it's going to be Oates' call. I like that Lotta brings more offensively to the table, but you know, as a center, is he the guy you're going to put out there to win that defensive zone faceoff, or are you going to go more with Grabowski, Leiker, or Backstrom? So you know, we'll see what happens going forward. There's still a lot of time for Beagle to make his mark on this team, and a lot as well.
Yeah, this is a very crowded organization. A lot of talented guys here. They just got to get the right guys in the right places. I hope at least for a game, at least for Friday's game, maybe Saturday's game as well against the Florida Panthers. I want to see Erat on the first line playing with Ovechkin and Backstrom. I'm okay with Johansson getting bumped back for a game or two because I just want to see if there's something there. Erat's a very talented guy, and I want to see what he can do with a guy like Ovechkin and a guy like Backstrom. I think those guys could play well together if given the chance. Maybe they could, maybe they couldn't. But just for a game or two, I'd like to see it.
I'm down for that. I've been calling for that for a while, to have Erat on the first line. I never understood any reason as to why he was on the fourth line. I'd like to see him with Backstrom and Ovechkin because I think he can bring more. He can bring more to the team offensively right now than Marcus Johansson. Johansson's done well. He's got like 10 or 11 assists, something like that. But guy can't score goals to save his freaking life. So I'd love to see put Erat out there and see how he can do.
Absolutely. So a lot of unsettled stuff going on in the Capitals now. But let's talk real quick about Braden Holtby bringing up something in an interview today. This is kind of weird. Usually this kind of stuff happens at the day after we record. But Holtby brought up the fact that he's not happy with a lot of the guys before a game. And he said that, you know, we're getting paid to play, not to dance around and not take this seriously. He got pulled in a game over the weekend. And if you saw the video of him getting off, he was pissed and he was screaming a lot of expletives towards the bench. And it seemed like he was talking to Adam Oates for pulling him, but it looks like he was screaming at the team, kind of like, where are you guys at? Where's my support? Why aren't we playing as hard as we can? So again, here's another guy with a lot of fire in his belly, but Holtby not happy with his team. Is he biting off too much? Does he think he has more stock in this team than he does? Because relatively, he's a new guy. Yeah, he's been here for a season. Well, technically two, if you count the lockout season. But
doesn't count.
Yeah. but is this guy coming in like showing some leadership in this team, or is he, you know, biting off more than he can chew right now?
Well, if anything, I think the team has more stock in him than he does in the team. I think if they were, for whatever reason, to move him out, he would do very well elsewhere. To just show you the quote that he said, or show people listening, that doesn't make sense. In my mind, said 2 hours before puck drop, that's when it's business time and focus, Holtby told NBCWashington.com following Wednesday's practice. You see too much of guys joking around and listening to music and just looking really loose like it's a practice. We're paid to prepare, not to have a dance party before the game. Holtby, I have no problems with him saying that. And if I'm him and I'm seeing people screw around before a game, yeah, I'm going to get a little frustrated because, you know, I go out and I play indoor soccer and I play on a touch football co-ed team. And, you know, we goof around a little bit before practice, but it's also somewhat serious because we want to go out there and play hard and get a win. And now I got to cut loose, put loose, kicked off the Sunday shoes. You know, these guys are professionals. They're paid to play. And if they're going to go out there and have a freaking dance party before they go out and then get embarrassed, you better come real serious the next night. And if I'm Oates and this is what's happening and it's not working, I'm taking all that stuff away and I'm making them focus and play the game the way it's supposed to be and prepare like professionals.
Yeah, that's what I want these guys to do. They need to be professionals. I think to a point, like to jump sports real quick, a season or two ago, I can't remember – it was 2 years ago. Sorry. It was right before the Ravens Steelers game. And, you know, that's a huge rivalry in the NFL, huge in Baltimore, especially, you know, Baltimore hates those Steelers. But I remember seeing Terrell Suggs come to the, facility talking trash about Pittsburgh and Harbaugh was kind of like, we're letting T-Sizzle kind of stay loose, stay loosey-goosey. And before the game, when they're doing like some pregame stuff on the side of the field, I see Terrell Suggs in the background, and he's hamming it up to the camera. He's like flexing his muscles, and he's, you know, he's got his Beats by Dre on his head, and he's like pointing at the camera and doing all these flexes and everything like he's Hulk Hogan. And I was like, wow, look, this guy's going into one of the biggest games of the year, and he's playing it off like it's no big deal. I think for some people that works, kind of saying like, this is my job. It's not, this game isn't as big as another game. I'm just going to play as I have to play is one thing. But if you're doing that in every game and you're not, and it doesn't look like you're taking it seriously and it's affecting your teammates, that's another story. Because if you're not doing your job out there, then you have no reason to be partying like that before a game, because it's obvious that that kind of strategy is not working for you. So I think it depends on the person, but if you're not delivering on the ice for hockey, if you're not delivering on the ice and you're doing this stuff before a game and it's bothering one of your teammates, then you got to change something here, because obviously it's not working for you either, and it's not working for your teammate.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. If there's clearly something going on in the locker room, Holpe's not pleased, and he had the guts to come out and say something. Now, normally I'd like these things to stay in the locker room, but unfortunately it did not. So, you know, maybe we have one of those things where you have a players-only meeting where they go and they talk about what's working, what's not working, and what they need to change for their pregame rituals.
Yeah, so very interesting stuff. Hopefully these guys can work it out. Hopefully Holpe's been playing great. I don't think he should have been pulled, because I don't think any of those goals that went past him on Saturday when he got pulled was his fault. I think it was the guys playing in front of him. So,
well, sometimes a coach will pull a goalie just to sort of give the team a jump start. So pulling him may not have been necessarily a shot at Holpe per se.
Yeah, but Holpe was pissed about it.
Well, the goal, I mean, he's working with Ole Kolzig. What do you want me to tell you? Like, he's clearly going to have a little bit of fire.
Right, exactly. So I like the fact that he's got that fire going. But, yeah, it's interesting to see what's going to happen now. It was, you know, after he got pulled, he did not play in Vancouver. So he maybe that's why he went to the media in the first place. He just wasn't happy with the fact that he got pulled and then sat a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. You never know.
Yeah. So anything else going on in Caps world we should cover?
One last thing was the Caps actually announced 2 Fridays ago that Tom Wilson will remain with the team throughout the season. Now, they could still send him back to Plymouth of the OHL, but then they've already burnt up the first year of his entry-level deal. So right now, I think it's good to have Wilson around, but he's got to start doing more offensively, and he's got to start getting more minutes. Otherwise, I question as to how much he's actually developing here as opposed to in Plymouth, where he'd be playing like 25 minutes a night.
Yeah, he's not playing a lot of minutes, and if you look at it, a lot of those minutes that he is playing, he's in the penalty box. So I think it's good he's getting some NHL experience, but yeah, we definitely need to see some more production from Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to be going and playing 5 minutes a night and spending 5 more minutes in the penalty box, he's not really learning enough to be on the roster. And they've already burned the first year of his entry-level deal, so that's sort of a moot point. So, you know, if he's not going to play a lot, send him down where he can play 25 minutes. Now, I don't think it's going to stunt his growth, even though I believe he came out and said it would. You know, so unless he's going to start producing more offensively, you might as well send him down.
Hey, Tom Wilson, where would you rather play, Plymouth or in Washington, D.C.? Would you like to play in the NHL? What are you going to say? No, I'd rather go to Plymouth. I'd rather be in the OHL than the NHL, definitely. But
hey, he's a hockey player. He knows he's going to be in the NHL one day, so yeah. Why not get a little more playing time and be ready better next season? I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I want to see him play more, but at the same time, you don't have to put him out there to fight or anything, because guy's proven it. He knows how to throw a few punches. So, no use wasting him in the penalty box. You know, get him out there actually doing some stuff, moving some bodies and getting the puck out of the corner. That's what I think he's really there for. So, but hey, anyway, you know what? I'm glad Tom Wilson's staying in D.C. for the season. Like you said, he could get bumped down anyway, but I'm happy that he's here. I like the fact that they kept him up here. He's a big young guy. He can't even drink yet or anything like that. I think he's still in his teens at this moment. So, but congrats to him. I mean, the guy obviously worked hard to get to this level. So congrats to him on making the NHL at such a young age. So good for him. But if that's it for what's going on in Caps world, now, Coach Dan, you know I live up in Baltimore, but we're going to head up 83 first. But before we do, you know, get in your car, come up to Baltimore and pick me up, because we're going to take a quick break and we're going to talk about the Baltimore Sports Report. But then we'll be back and we'll be going up 83.
What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Hey there, What the Puckers. Come join me and the rest of the Baltimore Sports Report Network for their first annual cornhole tournament, Saturday, November 2nd at 12 p.m. at the Green Turtle in Pasadena, Maryland. It's only $20 per team of two, and the grand prize is two tickets to Ravens Steelers on Thanksgiving. It's going to be a good time. Go to BaltimoreSportsReport.com/tournament to enter, and we will see you November 2nd. All right, well, the Hershey Bears and Reading Royals, they are busy, just like the Reading Royals jerseys for tonight's game. But Coach Dan, let's talk about the Hershey Bears first. How are they doing in the AHL?
Jerseys are so hideous. That's right. In Hershey, since we last talked, they went 2-2 with a win and loss against the St. John's Ice Caps, as well as a loss to Hartford, putting them at 2-3-1 on the young season. And congrats to Nathan Walker, who became the first Australian to score a goal in the NHL, which is pretty cool. So congratulations again.
Good for him. And don't let that virus going on around the prison affect your play, man. You are a good player. Way to go, Aussie.
Anyone who doesn't watch The Walking Dead has no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're like, what the hell? He went to prison? What?
Huh? All right, moving on to those hideous jerseys. Reading has also gone 2-2 since we last talked, with wins and losses against South Carolina and Elmira, putting them at 2-2 on the season. Now, interestingly enough, both scores against South Carolina in the wins and loss were 3-2, and both scores against Elmira with a win and a loss were 3-1. It's a little bit of a spooky start to the season, especially with those goofy jerseys they're wearing tonight. That's all the interesting news. Up 83.
All right. Well, you know what? I would love to get one of those Reading Royal jerseys just to have a Halloween jersey like that. But, man, I love minor league hockey.
Nope. Not going to do it.
you and I, let's go up there when they got the St. Paddy's Day ones, and let's get them. And let's hang out with our buddy from Purple We Bleed. I wonder if he got one tonight. I bet you he did.
He's probably got one. He probably got a couple.
He should. All right, well, if that's it going on up 83, let's go around the NHL. Well, we've been gone for 2 weeks. Coach Dan, he likes to compile all his notes. He's got his own little NHL Bible sitting on his desk right now. He's going to let us know about everything that's going on in the NHL. So, Coach Dan, what's been going on?
I have a Bible on my desk. What are you talking about? No, I'd say thankfully not a lot happened this past week, so I didn't have to go take another like half an hour to write all those notes. But over the past 2 weeks, the biggest news I think was Buffalo traded longtime forward Tomas Vanek to the New York Islanders for Matt Molson, a first-round pick in 2014 and a second-round pick in 2015. Now, Vanek and Molson, I believe, are both going to be free agents after this season, so it'll be interesting to see if the Islanders can convince Vanek to stick around. Now, it won't be the first time the Islanders have brought somebody in that didn't want to be there and then was able to stick around. This is definitely a big move, and I'm not real happy to have Vanek playing in the Metropolitan Division. I hate saying that name. For the foreseeable future. Former Washington Capitals defenseman Roman Hamrlik announced his retirement last Monday after 20 NHL seasons with Tampa Bay, Edmonton, the Islanders, Calgary, Canadiens, Rangers, and the Washington Capitals. So that's interesting for him. And then former Rangers, Islanders, Sabres, and Flyers goalie Martin Biron also announced his retirement. In suspension news, we got a bunch of people acting like idiots. Dallas forward Ryan Garbutt has been suspended 5 games for charging Anaheim forward Dustin Penner from at least 2 Sundays ago. Colorado forward Cody McLeod has also been suspended 5 games for boarding Detroit's Nicholas Cronwall, which is not cool. I got Cronwall on my fantasy team. Islanders forward Michael Grabner has been suspended for 2 games for an illegal check to the head of Carolina forward Nathan Gerby. Isn't Gerby like 5'2 or something? So, like, is it really fair to get him suspended because he checked him when it's like, you know, he could have been a normal cross check and it happened to hit Gerby in the head because Gerby's so tiny. And then, sorry, that was probably mean. And Phoenix forward Martin Hanzel has been suspended 2 games for charging Edmonton's Jeff Petrie. The Islanders signed veteran defenseman Radek Martinik to a 1-year deal. And speaking of the Islanders, or former Islanders, I should say, Rick DiPietro has signed a professional tryout with the Charlotte Checkers, the AHL affiliate of the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm going to go out and say he makes about 10 days before he breaks something, because that's about right for Rick DiPietro. Calgary announced that they will be hanging on to rookie Sean Monahan for the remainder of the season, instead of sending him back to the juniors. And I believe Pittsburgh has also announced that they will be hanging on to defenseman Olli Maatta for the rest of their season. Longtime New Jersey goalie Martin Brodeur announced that Corey Schneider is the Devils' number one goalie for the foreseeable future. And finally, the Detroit Red Wings have added Sergei Fedorov to their alumni showdown roster for that game, I believe, on December 31st. Huh. That is all of the interesting NHL news for the past 2 weeks.
2 weeks worth stuff, man. Real quick, just about the NHL. Coach Dan were talking, and I were talking about this before the show. Let me just say this. If you are a hockey fan, not just a Capitals fan, but you just enjoy like the history of the NHL and that kind of stuff, the NBC Sports Network, they put out this new show called the called NHL Rivals, and it airs on Tuesday nights to prep Wednesday night rivalry. So whatever two teams are going against each other on Wednesday night, they actually take a half hour and they explain the rivalry, why there's a rivalry. It's not like they're just making it up. They're like, no, this is why, you know, Boston and Pittsburgh don't like each other. This is why the
one Jerome Iginla.
But like, I saw the one, I haven't seen the one for this week yet, but when it was Capitals Rangers, I watched the one where they talked about the history of the Capitals and the Rangers and why there's a rivalry there. And for anyone who actually isn't a fan of the Capitals or the Rangers, but just likes hockey and was just tuning in, this made, like, they would get total sense of like, oh, okay, this is why this is Wednesday night rivalry. This is the history of these two teams. Now, of course, the Capitals, when they went up against the Rangers, didn't really look like they were in the same league as the Rangers this last week or so. They looked terrible. But it is such a good show, the way it's shot, the way it's documented. I mean, really, really cool stuff. I absolutely recommend NHL Rivalry if you're a hockey fan, because it really does show you a lot of history in between those rivalries. And really great show. I absolutely just watch it. I mean, if you're a hockey fan that liked, you know, HBO 24/7, this is kind of in the same vein. It's kind of shot the same way. Looks like if you're a camera geek, it looks like they're shot on DSLR cameras, and I'm a camera geek, so that's why I know that kind of stuff. But really cool stuff. Check it out if you get a chance. All right, let's talk about the Capitals, though. Coming up, until we talk again, we have three games the Capitals are going to be playing. On Friday, November 1st, the Capitals will be going up to Philadelphia, going up to see the Broad Street Bullies. Capitals Flyers starts at 7 o'clock, and it is going to be on the NHL Network and Comcast Sportsnet Plus. So it's not on the regular CSN, it's on CSN Plus.
Plus.
Yeah, so
lame.
You might not have an HD feed for that game. Saturday, November 2nd, Florida Panthers, they're coming to the phone booth. The Capitals are back home for the first time in weeks. And that game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be broadcasted on Comcast Sportsnet. Well, and on Tuesday, November 5th, the Islanders come to town, and they go up against the Washington Capitals in D.C. again at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. So three big games there for the Capitals. They're going against their new rivals, the Flyers, on Friday, which should be a lot of fun, and former Southeast rivals, the Panthers, on November 2nd. So three big games, and we'll be able to discuss that next week. So make sure you tune into those games and know what we're going to be talking about. So plenty of cool stuff going on. If you want to talk hockey during those games, or if you just want to talk hockey whenever, we are always reachable on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash, and Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachTam. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. You'll get information about this show and all the other shows like The Call that we do every week. So whenever those shows come out, you will be the first to know. Also go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, two P's in that title, and you'll get information about What the Puck over on Facebook. We are also on Twitter. The show is on Twitter. Go to @WTP_podcast, and you'll get tweets from the show as well as us, because you know we're always tweeting out about the Capitals. If you like the show, please let us know. Leave us an iTunes review and be social with the show. Let people know that they should be listening to What the Puck. Let them know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit, and anytime you are social on the web, let people know that they should listen to What the Puck. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. So there is no reason why you shouldn't be able to listen to the show. If you want to hear old shows, they are archived at whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. So this has been a great show this week. Coach Dan, it's time for our Brizgalo forecast.
Brizgalo, he's a little crazy. He's not Patrick Walker, but he's still crazy.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
Saturday, November 2nd. Former Southeast...